This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe banger. George.
Song's so good, it makes me talk over our own rejoin. Manuel Acho. Acho is a known fool, says a junkie. Another junkie says Acho is just farming. Let him cook and learn from him. You're right. I've never been accused of farming. Never in my life have been accused of engagement farming.
Yeah, but that's real farming.
I don't think he's doing it intentionally, though.
You think he just? He just has this take.
I think you have like takes. I think what he was trying to say is like you can't like he doesn't think that Monken's a good hire. I think that's what he's trying to say, and then he kind of like got on the weeds a little bit and kind of went somewhere that he probably wasn't willing to go to. And I think he's actually like apologized for this. I think he came out. And was like,
I'm sure he has. He's apologized like once a week.
Yeah,
it feels like,
I think he had a take, and he crossed. Not that it was inappropriate. Mm-hmm. Not that he crossed some moral high ground, but he just crossed the point that he even wanted to go to and said some stupid stuff. Like we've all been there. We know it.
Monken did get caught on camera today, confirming that Shedeur Sanders essentially said he wasn't going to Baltimore.
Yeah, it was funny.
I'm like, okay.
That's funny. We tried to draft you last year.
Yeah, he's like, let me get to do this.
that was funny.
Oh, okay.
That was funny, I thought. I also thought it was funny that like Andrew Berry like hustles out of the room. Like that was funny in that video too. Responding to bad takes, shooter shoot. Good point. We land on here all the time. We land on Bad Take Boulevard all the time ourselves. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Somebody says, what I learned this week is Brian has an easy job. Someone says, no, Branham, you engagement ranch. Okay,
it's hard
so
in here.
Do I engagement ranch or do I not? What's that?
It's hard in here. Brian has a hard job. Mm-hmm. It's rough.
Mm-hmm. Acho is a bad word wipe. That's mean. That's not nice. You have to go to that extreme. So ESPN has they have some projections on some of these extensions that need to be done around the NFL, key extensions around the league. And the Texans are one of the five teams they mentioned, Atlanta, Dallas, Detroit, L.A. But the Texans are one. They talk about the extensions of C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson. Will Anderson's like, yeah, he's going to get his. He's surely going to try to top the $40 million, probably will. Then their write-up on C.J. Stroud is pretty interesting, I think. Stroud's situation is different, didn't play well. If Stroud tries to top $60 million, which no one thinks that, the Texans would be better served to pick up his 27 fifth-year option, ride this out for a while. What's the sweet spot, though? Can Stroud top $50 million per year? Can he top $55 million per year? Blah, 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 blah. They're already scheduled to pay him $5.6 and $26, fifth-year option of $26.5. So the Texans have him for two more years at just over $30 million total. They can tear up the final 2 years of his deal, replace it with, say, a five-year $250 million contract that averages $50 million a year. But from the team standpoint, would only average about $43.6 in new money. Take out the $32 million that he's currently owed. So their predictions, they predict Will Anderson's going to get 4 years, $176 with $120 million guaranteed.
Sounds good.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, but works for me.
That works. The prediction that they have for C.J. Stroud is 4 years, $224 million with $110 million guaranteed at signing. What do you think about that, Joe?
So that insinuates that there's going to be...
It's 56 average AAV. Sheesh.
But that makes me feel like they'll be able to get out of it if only 110 is guaranteed at signing. Right? Like, I feel like that's the way that's written. That, like, they're not potentially going to be in the same situation that the Cardinals and the Dolphins are. Like, I don't know the exact... Tua's exact details on his contract. But $56 million a year for CJ?
I feel like they would spread out the 110, though.
Probably. Hard pass, man. Okay, so Tua got 4 years, $212 million, $167 million of it was guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So this is quite less guaranteed money for CJ Stroud, $110 million versus $167 million. But still, no thank you, man.
It seems high. Like he talks about like compromise there. Like, where's the compromise?
That's not a compromise. That makes him the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL. No. Doesn't make him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. It's just less years.
No, Dak's at 60 per year.
So he's second.
Dak's at 60. Dak went from 50. Dak, the highest paid before Dak was 55, and he went all the way up to 56. I think, or 60 rather. I think there is a few quarterbacks that might have 55, like one now.
Yeah, I think like Lawrence, I think Tua, Burrow are all in that category. But no, absolutely not.
It's weird, though, that he started talking about, like, the compromise and how, like, they could, you know, find a shorter term deal and tear up his current contract. And then it's like, bang, $56 million per year. It's almost like he didn't, like, watch the playoffs.
Like, I guess, like, the compromise is that you're not adding it on to the end of the contract. And you're tearing it up so you can get out of it in 4 years instead of in, like, 6 years. Is that the compromise? Like, I no interest. I have zero interest in doing this for CJ Stroud. Like, it's too much money for the way he played at the end of the season. The fact that he hasn't progressed nearly enough. He is not worth that contract right now. It has mean key players on this team are going to have to leave this team in the next 2 years. Like, I am not doing that. He has not played well enough to be a $56 million year quarterback.
Yeah, I would rather just go the – I'd rather play, like, with fire with them. Like, I'm willing to just play it out and see at what point they start to get noisy. Like, hey, okay, we'll pick up the fifth-year option this year. You're playing on the fourth year, playing on the fifth year. If we still like you, then we're going to play you on the tag. If we still like you after that, then maybe we tag you again. And it's almost at the moment that they get noisy that it's like, okay, well, we'll trade you for multiple first-round picks.
Yeah. Like, I just – this would surprise me. Now, as you mentioned, the cap is going up another, was it like another like $30 million?
Yeah, it's like up to $300 million.
And it was $279 million last year. So like it's so that I mean, the benefit with paying Stroud now is that the cap just keeps going up and up and up and up, and the more gambling money and the more international money that comes in, like it doesn't feel like this is slowing down. It does not feel like, you know, back when the NBA just kept going up, and all of a sudden they realized it wasn't going to anymore, and it was a huge problem. They had to offer amnesties to all the teams so they could get out of some of these bad contracts. Like, the NFL is not headed in that direction. So the benefit is that if you pay him now, it won't hurt you as much as this contract goes on. It's why the Russell Wilson contract, you're able to get out of that. It's why the Dolphins and the Cardinals can even think about getting out of their deals. It's why Mahomes' contract is the best deal in sports right now. It was 10 years, $500 million. Not all of it was guaranteed. There was all these extra bonuses and stuff in there. But the cap has just gone up and up and up. And frankly, he's underpaid. But
that's not just for Stroud, though. That's for every player.
For sure. And like, I just still feel like there's a better chance it bites you in the ass if you make that deal.
That I wouldn't extend Stroud. I'm on the play it out as long as you can until he tells you that he is worth the contract. And maybe he tells you that next year and you extend him after next season. I mean, we've talked about it a lot. I am willing to pay more on the back end knowing that I have a guaranteed player as opposed to paying on the front end that might give you savings of only like $10 million. I think that's what the savings would be per year of being in a situation like Miami is with Tua, like Arizona is with Kyler. I think Trevor Lawrence has graduated that skepticism, quite frankly. Like, I think this year he's graduated from the he is not in the Tua contract hell that he is in, that Kyler is in, all of that. So I'm willing to pay on the back end there. Now, I do agree with signing players early if you know you want them around for a long time. Like when they signed Nico Collins, okay, he's a good football player. You want to be in the Nico Collins business. The earlier you do it, the better. Jalen Petrie I was a little bit more skeptical about, but look, that's worked out well. A player that you liked, you wanted him here for a while, and as time goes on, that contract becomes more attractive. I think Will Anderson's going to be the same way. I think they're going to get Will Anderson done this year. It's going to be right around, if not the highest paid contract for an edge rusher, but the moment that it's signed, then everybody else after him is going to start surpassing that, and as the cap grows, it becomes a less percentage of the cap. So I do agree and believe, fundamentally, in the NFL, you should sign players that you know you want to keep around as early as you possibly can. And to Nick Caserio's credit, he has done that. Did it with Nico, did it with Petrie, did it with Derek Stingley. I believe he's going to do it with Will Anderson. My guess is he does it with Stroud, actually. I predict that they are going to extend CJ Stroud this offseason. I draw the line there on Stroud, though.
Yeah, I think, and I, you know, too, like, I think the other difference between, like, Stingley and Stroud is also, and even, like, when you look at these other quarterback situations that have happened in the NFL, is you're competing also against the contracts of other guys. Like, who are you competing against with Stroud? Of like, well, if this guy gets paid first, then we're going to have to pay Stroud even more because the money always just goes up to the next one. Well, Bryce Young's not getting paid, so you got no one this offseason. If you go into next year, like, if you're you have to predict, I guess, of what Drake May and Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams and Bo Nix, like what's going to happen with them. But like, so maybe now's the time to do it before all those guys get paid. But like, I just don't see it right now. I just don't see the need to do it. I hope you're wrong.
The need would be that you're getting a contract on a player you believe in, and you sign him for cheaper than it would be in a year or two.
Sure.
I just don't believe that the savings is enough to warrant such a gamble on a player that everybody's unsure about. Maybe they have more confidence in Stroud than we do. If he signs that kind of contract, I'm going to scratch my head and say, oh boy, they better be right, or this is something that could really hurt them long term.
I mean, like, it's a...
Because you're right, it's going to cost them players. Like, you sign that kind of extension for Stroud, there's players currently on this football team that are big pillars in this organization that matter a lot, probably on the defense, that won't be Texans whenever they're due contracts.
See you, Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, for sure.
Jalen Petrie could be up, like...
I think you're, yeah, I mean, I
Kamari Lassiter is going to have to be a question mark.
I think you can, like, how many can you keep? Like,
exactly. Like, no matter what, like, the Texans actually have, like, they're in a place where they have too much talent to keep all of it. It's just the reality. Like, you're not going to be able to probably at some point have a roster in which you have paid, you know, CJ Stroud, Will Anderson, Jalen Petrie, Derek Stingley Jr., Kamari Lassiter, you know, all these different players. Like, it's, you have to figure out which ones you're going to prioritize. And if you prioritize the quarterback, there's going to be a trickle down that, like, it might even, like Nico's going to be due for an extension before we know it. And, like, if you pay CJ Stroud that money, to me, one of the things about these contracts is, like, while Joe Burrow is happy to have both Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, when you start making $55 million a year, I shouldn't have to have one of the highest paid wide receivers in the NFL on my roster. I think you should be able to elevate a little bit lesser of talent around you and make it work. I don't think CJ can do that. So, like, Nico's a must on this roster. So, like, how do you pay all these guys was always going to be a question. But now with Stroud's play there at the very end and throughout this season, it's not even a question that, like, you can't prioritize it right now. It's just not – it's not worth it.
4 years, $220, $410 million guarantee. Would you? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 97.9 HD2. Would you stop off at Federal American Grill for a little social hour, a little eating, a little drinking? Of course you would. Social hour at Federal American Grill is your must-go-to spot at any point, but especially on a Friday. And social hour goes 4 hours at Federal American Grill from 3 until 7. $10 appetizers, various drink specials. You're going to love your time there. World-class whiskey, the bourbon selections are fantastic, and the menu's to die for. Everything on the menu is delicious. Join Club Fed, reward point system. Members have early access to all things Federal American Grill and Valentine's reservations. Get them now. $75 per person for a three-course dinner menu. What are you waiting for? Get over to Federal American Grill, where precision cooking meets quality ingredients in a tribute to classic American cuisine.
They say the holy water's watered down, and this town's lost its faith. Our colors will fade eventually. So if our time is running out, day after day, we'll make the mundane.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. 713-780-3776. 4 years, $224 million. $110 million guaranteed at signing. Are you doing it? 713-780-3776. The people don't want to do it, Joe. The people are out on it.
What do you think the percentage of Texans fans will be in on it?
Not many.
Maybe like 5%. Colton, are you saying you're in on this deal?
Well, he's an Aggie.
I'm in on it.
You still believe in CJ Stroud that much?
Still believe in.
This is why we don't let producers talk.
Man. You might like Does that mean you like Marcel Reed?
I do like Marcel Reed.
Oh, never mind.
That's more of a bias, though. But I think it's hard to find a good quarterback in the league. I still think CJ's fringe top 15. Sorry, Joe. I know you've seen it a lot, having to go through the quarterback cycle and all that. It's just hard to find a good quarterback in this league. And, yeah.
Yeah, I think,
why are you paying a fringe top 15 quarterback $56 million a year?
You got to pay him early, like y'all said.
Why?
Get it in before it's too late, because you don't want to be stuck
late?
You don't want to be stuck with no quarterback.
But you're not stuck. You could have C.J. Stroud's services unless he were to demand a trade. And if he's in the situation where he's demanding a trade, that means he has value. Because you're not demanding a trade without value, right? Like, if I can't go in and demand a trade. I have zero value. They would laugh me out of the room.
It happened with Deshaun. He demanded a trade, and then we were stuck with Davis Mills.
No, 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 no. Deshaun Watson's trade sparked what we're currently watching with the Houston Texans. The Deshaun Watson trade has sparked three straight playoff runs. The Deshaun Watson trade gave you a treasure trove of draft picks. Treasure chest of draft picks that you were able to build this team with. If you're in a position to trade a quarterback for three first-rounders who's top 15 fringe, you should be thanking the heavens.
Definitely.
I also think,
there's no fear that C.J. Stroud's going to leave you because he's got the fourth year next year. That's 1 year. He's got the fifth-year rookie option. That's a second year. He's got the tag. That's three. He's got the second tag. That's four. Now, those are expensive, but so is a $56 million contract now.
Yeah, I think Deshaun also, too, at the time, like, he was worth it. Like it was before all the bad stuff started coming out, really.
But Deshaun Watson's irrelevant to this conversation.
No, I know. But
if you're in a position where C.J. Stroud's value is three first-round draft picks, you're in a good spot.
Yeah.
Because his value is not three first-round draft picks right now. So, like, I don't have fear of, like I don't have the, what would it be? It's not buyer's remorse, is it? Because I don't know what it would be. But I don't have the fear of, like, if I don't get it done now, I'm never going to get it done. You own his rights for four more years. Four more years you own his rights. And if he ever gets to a point where, like, I demand more money and you're unwilling to pay it, you're going to trade him for a good value.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't see the urgency.
If he does have a good year this year, what is his range?
See, I don't think it changes.
Maybe it's
that
60.
Much.
Maybe it becomes 60. So that's $4 million a year. Maybe it's 65. That's $10 million a year. I'm willing to pay that upcharge to guarantee I have a great product. It's kind of like, what do you want to, like, what is a good, like, consumer comparison here? It's like buying a car from a crap dealership without really knowing it versus buying a vehicle from Monument Chevrolet. Like, if I can learn that vehicle is Monument Chevrolet worthy in a year, I'm willing to pay an upcharge on it than a 50-50 chance that I'm buying a lemon for a few bucks cheaper. Like, give me the intel. Give me the data. Give me the information. It's going to cost you more if it works out, but it's a more reliable purchase.
Yeah, I think, like, with, like, the work, like, even if you got to the end of next season and it was like, okay, you have to give C.J. Stroud $65 million because the way he played, what is that? What is, like the reality of that is what that probably means is a top five MVP finish in a real playoff run for once. So it's like, even if you get stuck with having to pay him next year and you miss the opportunity to save, you know, $8 to $10 million a year now, the ultimate, like, at the end is that you were really talented. Like, you had a really good quarterback. It's like what happened with Joe Flacco, in a way. Like, the Ravens were pretty much clearly ready to move on from Joe Flacco. And then he won the Super Bowl. So they had to pay him. And it's like, well, you know what? It's kind of worth it. We're like, and, like, Dak is really the only quarterback who's gone through this and didn't get paid right away. Like, everyone else is kind of just getting paid right away. So, like, Dak's really the argument, like, the thing to point to at this point of, like, if you don't pay C.J. Stroud now, that's the end result, is that they waited and they waited and they waited, but then they still overpaid Dak for I don't know what reason. So, like, I think you can still be in this, like, $55, $57 million year, you know, window. Now, if you wait for, you know, if Jaden Daniels, you know, Caleb Williams and Drake May all get paid next offseason, then, yeah, CJ's going to cost a lot of money. But if you're willing to pay him, it means he was awesome.
So, it's like, just not that much more money.
Yeah, it's just not. It's like $3, $4, $5 million a year. Like, it's just not worth... It's not a big enough drop-off to where, like, I would be concerned about waiting at this point. And I really don't think they're going to hold out. That would shock me.
I don't think they'll hold out.
Like, I really don't think they'll hold out. I mean, I guess it's on the table. Like, anything's possible in the NFL, but, like...
Well, no, I thought you meant the Texans. My prediction is the Texans extend them this offseason. I think it's just Caserio's MO. I think Caserio believes in signing his players early.
You think they're that much of a? You think they're still, like, full believers in CJ?
Yeah, I think he likes extending his players early. I think it'll get done. Like, I don't think he's going to get 56. I think 56 is an egregious projection. Some people on Twitter are like, well, it's a low guarantee, so it's not as bad as it looks. I don't know, man, because I think the guarantees are probably early, so it, like, buys out that fourth year.
Yeah.
So I would imagine, like, all the – like, I don't know. Like, you didn't talk about the structure of this contract, but I would imagine that the $110 million guaranteed are probably in the first 3 years of the contract, making that fourth year a non-guaranteed year would be my guess.
Yeah, like, I think that's what – our internet's awesome. I'm trying to pull up Tua's contract. But yeah, it probably saves you some, like, on the back end here. Like, if you look at Tua, so Tua's contract was a 4-year deal where he got $39 million. His cap hit was the first year. Dead cap was $137. His cap hit this year was for this upcoming season is $56 million, a $99 million dead cap. And then it just keeps going down and down and down. Whereas dead cap after that is $31.8, then it's $18.4. So, like, if they gave him only 110, you know, guaranteed, like, the back end of the deal, like, you'll be able to get out of it.
Yeah.
But you're still talking about now the next 4 years and potentially being in a situation in which you have a Tua situation or a Kyler situation. So it's like, that's to me, is the only real fear is, like, if you're in that situation, you're talking about GM being fired, coaches being fired, your roster being in disarray. And rebuilding.
Tua got $167 million guaranteed.
And this projection was $110.
Yeah. So it is low in guarantees.
Which that makes me feel a little bit better about it, to be honest. Like,
sure.
I think that does, like, it outweighs some of this. Like, and I would be curious, like, what the Stroud camp, how they would view that. Because I feel like they wouldn't like that either. Frankly, like, you would want as much guaranteed money as humanly possible. So settling for $110, I think, seems a little bit, to be honest, like, unrealistic within the projection.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. But maybe that's the trade-off, is that, yeah, we'll get the AAV, you know, 56, higher than anybody but Dak, but you have to take the lower guarantee, so it's kind of prove it year by year. I don't think it'd be prove it year by year. I think they would front-load the guarantees to early in the contract and make that fourth year probably voidable. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Julian, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Julian?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, man?
I'm in the minority. I know I am. I want to build through the trenches. I want a great defense. I want a solid running game. And you know what I would do? I hope, if I was a Texas fan, I would pray that CJ has a great year. I pray it. That way he has trade value. And then don't go for the jugular. Don't say I want two twos, two ones, and an established player. Just say, hey, give me a first and two thirds, and get him out of me. Get him out of here. And then you use your first, the first you get, move up in the draft, get a cheap quarterback, have the 4 years to invest even more in your line and your defense and your running game. I mean, I don't understand the infatuation of fans and teams that want to pay these quarterbacks astronomical numbers, especially when this guy's been so up and down. Now, Brock Purdy was criticized because he didn't have the Avengers, he was not that good. This year, he didn't have the Avengers, he was 7-1. CJ didn't have his, quote, Avengers. Collins was hurt. Tank is done. Mixon was gone. He did not look good this year, man. He hasn't looked good since his rookie year. What is it? Why is it that because he was a first-round pick, oh, let's just give him more time. It's all right. We know what he can be. No. What is he? What has he been? Have a good day, gentlemen.
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, like, if he has a good year and you trade him for a first and two-thirds, like, Nick Caceres should be fired. So, like, that's a little contradictory. I get where you're going, Julian, is get a new quarterback and develop them and, like, build around your roster. And, like, it's a fine philosophy. But the reality is like, how many busts are there? You're also now banking on being able to make a trade. So, like, if you have a good quarterback, you pay a quarterback. Like, there's a reason why no team in NFL history.
But do you have a good quarterback?
No. Well, I know. But in his scenario, he said CJ Stroud was good next year. Like, you can't have a, like, if you have a good quarterback, you pay him. Like, there's a reason, like, teams don't move off quarterbacks when they're good. Do you have a good quarterback is the other question. Like,
yeah.
And if you're not sure you have a good quarterback, then you should trade him this offseason, I think, frankly.
Well, you're trading low. I disagree with that. I don't believe in trading commodities when they're at their lowest value.
Yeah, but, like, he's got 2 years left on his deal. So, like, you're It would depend on the offers you get. Like, you'd be hoping that someone else in the NFL would be viewing CJ Stroud as a player that they can still fix and get right. Where, like, if he has another bad year, like, his trade value plummets even farther. So, like, if you're ever going to consider trading CJ, I actually, like, this is the moment. Like, I'm not doing it after a good season. If it's after another bad season, then, like, what's he worth? A third? Like,
yeah, I don't want to be... I disagree with that logic. Like, you have a commodity that I do view players as commodities. I know that that's like a knock on Daryl Morey and all of that. I do view players as commodities. CJ Stroud's stock was very high when he was drafted, number two pick in the NFL draft. His draft, his stock was very high after his rookie year. Since his rookie year, his stock has declined. Mm-hmm. And it's not a linear decline. Like, there's been, you know, blips on the radar as you go further and further in his career. But his stock price has never been higher than that rookie season, whether it was when he was drafted, after his rookie year. That's been the peak stock for CJ Stroud. It's been on a decline since. I'm not going to trade CJ Stroud when he's at his 52-week low.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to do it. Like, I hope that that commodity gains value, maybe not full value, maybe not, you know, 52 week high, but eventually. Like, I can't trade a commodity when they're at their lowest value. Can't do it. And maybe it means that CJ Stroud's not tradable, because if he's playing at that level, you're not going to want to trade him.
For sure. Like, I think he's essentially untradeable, but, like, if you're proposing the CJ trade thing, I feel like it's now or never. Like, I don't think there's any scenario where, like, you ever want to trade him and he has more value than he has in this moment.
Like, I don't think his value is that high.
No, I know. But, like, it's like, if you wait and, like, you actually want to move him, he's only going to be worse. So, like, it's like his value is low compared to what it could be. But if you want to actually entertain the idea of trading CJ Stroud ever, it means he's even worse than he probably was this year. So, like, I feel like his stock's just going to keep going down if you actually are entertaining that idea.
Yeah, I'm riding out the contract. Somebody on YouTube says that I'm basically treating him like the Commanders treated Kirk Cousins. Yeah, I guess so. I didn't really think of that comparison, but yeah, like I'm treating him like Kirk Cousins. The exception here, the difference here between Kirk and the Commanders versus Stroud and the Texans, is you actually have an extra year to play with because you drafted him in the first round and can pick up his fifth-year rookie option.
Mm-hmm.
The Commanders didn't have the luxury of that because he was not a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm playing the Kirk Cousins Commander game on steroids because I have an extra year to kind of navigate.
I got no problem with that. Like, if you want to just ride out with franchise tags and transition tags, like, go for it. And honestly, I would probably do the transition tag where, like, if someone wants to sign him, you get two first-round picks. So it's like, okay, like, he gets free agency and, like, someone wants to go out there and make the move. And I know everyone kind of ignored Lamar when they did it. So, like, it didn't really work out for the Ravens potentially. But maybe someone would take a flyer on CJ.
Well, there might have been collusion there.
Yeah, that's it kind of feels like there was, to be honest with you. So I think you're riding this thing out. And I know you think they'll pay him this offseason. I'd be surprised.
Yeah, my guess is that they're going to pay him. It's Casario's MO to pay guys early. Just a guess. The Texans are a defensive juggernaut, pay Mills a little and focus on defense. Stroud might turn down everything anyway and try to go somewhere else. I'm not sure he wants to be here. What's your context on that, though? Like, is that just a feel you get? Is that a gut feeling? Like, what is your rationale on that, I guess I'm saying? If Casario likes CJ, then he should be going to his agent and trying to get the deal done now, buy low. See, that's the issue. Is I don't think there's a buy low here. What is buy low? $56 million a year? That's not a buy low.
Yeah, the only buy low is the guarantees.
He's marked up. Yeah. He's a new car. You need gap insurance on him.
As the other, from what the other texter was saying, like, that's just the general thing that I feel like Texans fans are, the perception that CJ gives off is that they feel like he doesn't love being here. I don't know if it goes back to, like, his rookie year when he was on the podcast tour and talked about how L.A. food was better than Houston's and L.A. women were better than Houston's and all these different things. And then the Mariners hat and the Yankees hat. I think there's just a perception of CJ Stroud that might not actually be based on anything.
Thinking L.A. food's better than Houston food is the stupidest thing.
It's probably the worst take.
L.A. food's not good.
I think it's worse. I think it's worse than making himself a top five quarterback.
I think so, too.
I think it's the worst take he's had.
L.A. food. I was so disappointed in L.A. food. Stroud is the Deshaun Watson of David Carr's. Everyone thought Petrie's contract was nuts when they signed him. Now he's a bargain. I'm not saying CJ's worth that, but that's the argument for signing him now if the coaching staff believes in him.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd like to know their thoughts with some truth serum, right? The Watson trade created a 3-year rebuild, LOL. Yeah, good came out of it, but he forced his way out, and the Texans went way downhill for 3 years. People forget that Deshaun Watson's final year in Houston, they were 4-12. People forget that. Like, people forget that the downward spiral was already happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't – or did I say Stroud? I meant Watson. Like, Watson's departure isn't what sparked the Texans' multi-year failures and multi-year abysmal seasons. Deshaun Watson's final year in Houston was the spark.
Yeah.
They went 4-12 in his final season. People forget that. That was an organization that was going downhill in large part because Bill O'Brien was the worst general manager in the history of the game. 713-780-3776. Out to the HRMP listener line. Pete, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, on this CJ thing, I think you have to let him play it out. I mean, I don't see the guy being worth $50 million right now, not after what he did in the playoffs. I mean, you could probably live with one bad game like the one against Pittsburgh because he ended up winning the game. But to go back-to-back with it, especially with just a disastrous performance against New England, if I were Caserio, I would not be thinking about extending the guy. Let him prove himself next year that he can get out of that slump and give them better performances, and then maybe they can go to the table or pick up that fifth-year option. But I think right now you got to concentrate on trying to maintain as much as the core team as you can and then cross that bridge with CJ when it comes up. Anyway, that's my thoughts. You guys have a great weekend.
No, thanks, Pete. Appreciate it. I definitely, like, one of the things, too, I would push back from this contract that, you know, kind of alluded there, too, is – like keeping this core together, I don't know if I want to rip up the final 2 years because that means some of these roster decisions you have to make are much quicker. Like, I know that pushes you deeper down. Like, if they were to give CJ a contract, like, it pushes the problems to, like, later down the road. But, like, I don't think you have to do it and do it the way you did Stingley and rip up years of contracts. I think you could add more if you wanted to. Now, Stingley they did before the before the fifth-year option even had to be picked up.
He didn't have a fifth-year option. He was a second-rounder.
No, Stingley.
Oh, at least at Petrie. My bad.
Sorry. So, like, do you think CJ's would get done that
It would
fast?
Have been the same offseason. You're saying the date?
Just the actual date, yeah.
Same like, offseason, but different deadline.
Yeah. They said before the actual deadline date, so they were able to do it a little bit different. I think that's how you can rip up, from what I understand, is how you can rip up the final years of the contract is actually by doing that contract before the fifth-year option is picked up. So, like, I don't think the negotiation will go that smoothly. It doesn't mean it won't happen this offseason. Still, like, I don't think this will be done quickly. This is going to be more of a negotiation, I feel like, between both sides once it starts to come into play. Where Will Anderson, I think we're going to get pretty quickly into the new year in March.
Speaking of Kirk Cousins, why not give him a 3-year fully guaranteed deal? Why? What? I don't get the question. Why would you? Why not give him a 3-year fully guaranteed deal?
Because he's bad. He's bad at football.
Yeah, I wouldn't give Kirk Cousins a 3-year fully guaranteed $1 million deal at this point. Junkie says Mexican food in San Diego is way better than Tex-Mex. Okay, well, he said L.A., so San Diego is a completely different city. I don't know why you said that. Another Junkie, Mexican food is better in L.A. than Houston. Respectfully disagree. The Mexican food I had in L.A. was not half as good as the food here. Maybe I went to the wrong place. Maybe y'all led me astray and sent me to the wrong place. These people must not know who CJ's agent is. That is a hang-up in this. David Mulligetta is the agent of CJ Stroud. I don't think that that's going to be an easy negotiation, although I do think that Caserio has a good relationship with really all agents, including David Mulligetta. Mm-hmm. Like, the way that they did come together and, you know, navigate the CJ, Deshaun Watson trade was, I think they respected each other for that. So I don't think Caserio fears Mulligetta, but Mulligetta is a shark. Like, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing for me is just no guaranteed, no trade clause.
Yeah.
That can't happen.
Yeah, I don't.
No matter what happens this offseason for CJ Stroud, he does not get a no trade clause in his contract.
Junkie 6969 says Mexican Houston beats SoCal Mexican food. You know ball, brother. 713-780-3776. Willibits coming up next. You never know what you're going to get. You just know it's going to be great. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great food debate? Jeremy being a giant buzzkill? Joe trying to do math? Carry the one, Joe. Carry the one. Or maybe they'll recklessly label people as casuals. Let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous bit.
Let's give a movie review.
What did she say?
Let's give a movie review, but in a British accent.
I thought you were Colton for a second. I thought
that
was still Colton.
You don't look anything alike. How'd you make that mistake?
Because I didn't see you. I saw you at the corner of my eye. Colton's been there the entire show. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just assumed it was Colton. And I looked up and it was you. It was very jarring.
My apologies for not being Colton.
Junkie says 95% sure the Mexican food here is miles better than L.A. Good recall. Good show recall. Another junkie says that San Diego is an hour and a half away from L.A. It's like driving to the Woodlands. Okay. I just pulled it up on the old Apple Maps, how far it is between L.A. and San Diego. Do you want to venture a guess how long it is to drive to San Diego to L.A. or vice versa right now?
Okay, so it's more than an hour and a half.
3 hours?
Yes. Closer. It's a little under 3 hours.
2.5?
2 hours and 43 minutes.
Okay.
Is that ejection worthy? He said it's like an hour and a half away from L.A. Then he said it's like driving to the Woodlands, which driving to the Woodlands is less than an hour and a half away.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like an hour.
But from like the, I mean, no. Usually when people are talking about like driving distances in Houston, usually I'm thinking inside the loop.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like from downtown, like, you know, inside the loop, from downtown area. So driving to the Woodlands is not an hour and a half, even with the worst traffic.
No, I don't think it's ejection worthy.
I don't know, man. It's borderline. It's almost twice as long as that.
I'm good with it. Eject him.
All right. See ya!
You are out of here.
You guys just want to hear the song again.
Guilty.
I can't wait to do this next week.
It's a banger.
What do you mean?
Isn't this what we're doing for Jose Jorge next week?
Oh, yeah, La Chona. Junkie says Colton is like 100 pounds less than Colton, Jeremy. He put Colton twice. Where did Colton go? There he is. He's like a jack in the box. I couldn't see him.
It looked very funny from RVO. It was very funny.
That was good. All right, show debates. I think that's what the lady. Let's go with lady. I think that's what the lady said.
Close enough.
What did they say?
Let's review a movie. But I already had the movie one ready, so I watched.
It's
like,
television.
We're gonna do both. Whatever.
So this Twitter account yesterday, it fell on my For You page. I don't follow them. They list the highest rated TV shows of the 21st century according to IMDb.
Okay.
Which I didn't know IMDb graded shows. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I was always a Rotten Tomatoes guy. Do you want to go reverse order on this, or do you want to go?
We can go reverse order.
4, 8, 12, 16. There's 16 shows. The first show, I don't know. It looks like it's written in
Arabic. That's Arabic.
What show is it? It's got the little guy from...
I don't know what that is. It's got...
Game of Thrones.
It's got Dexter.
That's like a great cast.
Yeah,
what
I don't...
What show is this?
I don't know, but I don't think it's a real show. If it is, I want to watch it.
Oh, they don't have a show. They don't have a grading on this. It must be like their murderers or like the best actors. Okay. So that's not it. They just listed the top 15. I thought that was a show.
I was like, that's a great cast.
I got...
The little man from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
The guy who plays Dexter, Michael C. Hall, and then Walter White.
Cranston, right? That's his name?
Brian Cranston.
Yeah. We lost an icon in the Hollywood industry.
That was sad.
That's very sad. Anyways, Succession, they have number 15. They give that an 8.8.
I think that grade's low.
I love Succession.
I think Succession should be graded higher than that.
Big fan of Succession. The next show, these are all 8.8s, but they have them ranked in order. They don't have like a tie. They had 14 When They See Us. I've never seen that show.
Same.
Okay. I wonder if it's any good. Fargo, they have an 8.8. I've seen a few episodes. Couldn't really get into it.
I liked it. I haven't watched the most recent season, but the first two seasons were elite and it went downhill a little bit, but maybe this new season's great. I just haven't watched it
yet. Good things, haven't watched it.
Yeah. I've seen like an episode or two. Couldn't get into it. 12th with another 8.8. They have True Detective.
Okay, so this is where like I disagree with their ratings is that season one's probably in the nines.
Yes, I would agree.
Everything else sucks.
I would the season three with Masha Hira Ali was pretty good.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Sure.
But season 2 and 4, awful.
Awful. So, yeah. it should be way lower on aggregate.
I've never seen an episode of True Detective.
Just watch season 1 and check out.
I've heard that season 1 was, brilliant.
Yeah, it's great.
Great. But I haven't... you said season 4 was good?
Season 3, I thought, with Masahiro Ali, the season he leads, that was pretty good, too. So but I definitely skip season 2. Don't bother with season 2.
Yeah.
Or season 4.
I didn't watch season 4 because I thought the trailers looked terrible.
Yeah, so. It wasn't good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next show they have on this list is The Pit, 8.9. Yeah.
Watched the new episode last night.
Oh, so you're current
on
The Pit.
I really, really like this show.
I've heard this show is great.
It's a very good show. It's so new. So we're a season and 4 episodes in. But it's excellent. It's a little gory.
That's my hang-up. Because
it's a medical drama, but on most medical dramas, they don't really show anything. I didn't like that. It's real. You see everything.
Yeah, I've heard
sometimes
that it's
too
that.
Much.
I've heard that it's pretty gory.
Yeah. And just gross.
How are you on gore?
I'm fine.
I get a little bit squeamish.
But so you got through Welcome to Derry. How could The Pit be too much?
I'm trying to find the best. I don't want to get canceled here, man. But, I don't need to see blood being taken out because you took a Viagra for eight and you're stuck.
You're worried about that being canceled worthy?
I don't want to see wieners.
Brian's dead. Brian lost his mind. You see that in The Pit?
Yeah.
Bunch of dongs, huh? In The Pit?
I just can't believe you phrased it like that. It's amazing. I'm guessing you haven't seen the new 28 Years Later, then.
No, I haven't yet.
Yeah, because to quote you, it's full wieners.
It's what I complained about in Game of Thrones the other day, the new season of that. And this one is too much.
There's a lot of that in The Pit.
No, there's one, but it's too much.
Okay. You know that's now a drop going forward.
You know what? As long as you don't edit it, it's fine.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So it's worth watching or not?
It's worth watching. It's really good.
I guess if you can... stomach the sight of wiener, as Joe would say.
Yeah.
Number 10, they have Dexter Resurrection.
I haven't watched it yet because I like the original show I loved.
Until the end.
Until the end.
The end was horrible.
And then the first reboot was atrocious.
You didn't like First Blood?
No, I didn't like it.
See, I did.
And then people said this reboot was very good, so I might watch it. It might be a summer show for me.
I've never seen Dexter.
It's elite through season 4. 5 and 6 are okay, and then it gets bad in 7 and 8.
What's it on?
It was on Showtime originally.
Oh, okay. I think I have started it, actually. I never finished it.
But I think it's on Netflix now, the original series.
And the original's better than Resurrection, you think?
Well, I haven't watched it yet. I just take issue with the sequel being... it's one season.
Yeah.
The Office, they have it 9, with a 9.0. I don't know how I feel about comedies being compared to dramas.
I mean, it's... Does the you didn't finish it though, right?
I think I did. I think I've seen all of the episodes of The Office.
Okay,
I just didn't watch them in time.
I think a 9's fine because I think there's a lot of 10 moments in there, and then the Will Ferrell chunk is not good.
See, I like to separate dramas and comedies,
and it gets back up there. Well, that's why it's the only comedy on this list, though.
Right, but I don't think it should be on the list.
That's fine.
I think there should be 2 separate categories here. Better Call Saul at 8 with a 9.
Excellent show.
I think it's a little low.
I think it's a little low, too.
I started it, haven't finished it.
Now, well, where'd you stop? Because I think that's a crucial question.
It's been a while.
Well, because the first 2 seasons, I would just throw away. But once Gustavo Fring gets brought in, Mike gets... Well, Mike's in there the whole time.
No spoilers, Brian.
Well, I mean, Gustavo Fring's been in there for 5 years already. But once they start getting into the timeline closer to Breaking Bad, it starts to become more like Breaking Bad, it becomes elite.
7, they have Sherlock.
Love it.
No. You love it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was a series.
I thought it was good. Yeah.
I haven't seen Sherlock.
The Benedict Cumberbatch, Martin Freeman iteration of Sherlock. It was great.
Yeah. I've heard, I enjoyed it.
Number 6 with a 9.2, they have Game of Thrones.
It's too high.
Too low.
They ruined it.
No, I'm not a Game of Thrones guy. I only watched the final season.
Yeah, which you watched the worst season. So
you didn't check in until the final season?
Yeah, and I did it because I'm a supportive husband and watched it with my wife. Okay.
You watched Starbucks cups and trucks being Dragonland.
I couldn't get into Game of Thrones. It's too fake for me.
They ruined the back end.
You have flying dragons blowing smoke. I'm out. It's got to be believable for me to watch it. Number five, The Sopranos at a 9.2.
Elite.
I still haven't finished it yet.
Although the ending...
Shh, Brian, why are you spoiling everything?
I mean, the ending's 20 years old.
Number four, they have The Wire at a 9.3.
Actually, it's like the one where like it's a big mess. I haven't watched it at all.
I have The Wire as my favorite show, favorite drama ever.
Okay.
The Wire is my favorite show ever. So, huge The Wire guy. Big The Wire guy. They have Chernobyl at number three.
I haven't seen this one.
It'd be number two on my list.
Really?
I love this show. I think it's excellent.
I started it, but like, turned it off.
It's one season.
It's just one season?
I think it's... I love this show. I've rewatched it. I think it's great acting. I really like it. I think they tell the story really well of what happened. I really enjoy Chernobyl.
So you can watch over and over again the effects of a nuclear meltdown.
Well, they don't really show the effects.
You watch honestly. It over and over?
I've watched it twice.
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
Number two is Band of Brothers. Is this the dude from Office Space?
I don't know.
Yes.
I've never seen Band of Brothers.
Oh, Ron Livingston? Yeah. Yeah, Ron Livingston.
That's the dude from Office Space?
Yeah.
I didn't know he had a career after that.
Yeah, I've never watched it. I've heard people speak highly of it that like it.
Yeah, I've never seen it. It's good. I've heard people say it's good. I'm going to have to put this on my list. Band of Brothers. The number one, they have Breaking Bad.
Agreed.
I have Breaking Bad second behind The Wire. But yeah. I'm not splitting those hairs.
Yeah, I think Breaking Bad is one.
I have no objection to this.
It's a perfect television show.
Yeah.
Other than one episode. What's the Fly one? Episode.
Oh, yeah. Fly episode's tough.
It was just a weird one right in the middle.
Good call.
But yeah. Other than that, it's damn near flawless. But that one episode is just a weird turn.
So, Brian, you went to the movies today.
I did.
I had you pegged. I knew it. what did you watch?
This will surprise you, Jeremy, for someone who knows my preferences when it comes to going to see movies. But I saw the new Jason Statham movie that just came out today.
I knew it.
It's called Shelter. It's very, very good. Very, very good. It's
where's it on the Brian meter?
I would agree with where it where it finished with the Rotten Tomato score. I think it's at 70% right now. I think that's a fair grade. It's 7 out of 10.
Okay. You put it a 7.0?
Yeah, 7 out of 10. Yeah, it's a little bit different than his last couple movies where they don't take some of the goofy turns like they did in The Working Man. It's more straightforward action and some British espionage, but it's a very good movie.
Just a little Britain espionage. Can't have a movie without it. I'm not sure I've seen a Jason Statham movie.
Any?
I don't think so.
I mean, you haven't watched any of the Fast and Furious movies?
I have a couple. I don't know if he was in them, though.
It'd be fair to say that's not a Statham movie. He's just in them.
But I watched them early, though. I'm not sure I've seen any of the recent ones.
No, okay. He's in the recent ones. Have you seen...
I saw him back when like that dude who
you
died
see the the Transporter?
No.
Italian Job?
Yes.
He's in that.
Italian Job's very good.
I love that movie.
I do like Italian Job.
Is it a good movie or is it like a good guilty pleasure movie?
No, I think it's a good movie.
Okay.
No, the Italian Job I think is a good movie. That's got Edward Norton in it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I like Edward Norton. Edward Norton's a good actor.
It's a great cast.
What's he been up to lately?
Not much, it doesn't feel like.
I feel like ever since he got fired from as the Hulk, he hasn't
done I haven't seen him in much.
Edward Norton was the Hulk?
In the 2008 movie, yes.
That doesn't feel like great casting.
Honestly, like movie's not good, but he's good in it.
He's a puny little man. How is he the Hulk?
Well, Bruce Banner is a puny little man.
Yeah.
Well, who, when infected by the gamma rays, becomes Hulk.
You're making fun of our nerds.
Just a little gamma ray talk. 713-780-3776.
Better than how the segment started.
What happened?
Well, yeah, what'd you say, Joe?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah, I remember what you said. Is there a position you're absolutely against the Texans taking in the first round? 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 97.9 HD2. There's something that I don't want you to be doing in your life, and that's driving a vehicle that's not reliable. You need a new vehicle. And if you get a new vehicle, it needs to be from Monument Chevrolet. Maybe you're looking to upgrade your ride even. Look no further than Monument Chevy. They're ready to start the year strong and offering exceptional deals on new vehicles. That's right, exceptional deals. Tell them your budget, and they're going to work hard to meet that budget. Maybe it's the durable and dependable Silverado, compact, stylish Trax. Maybe it's the Equinox. Monument Chevrolet has the vehicle you want at the price you want. And you can trust the people there at Monument Chevrolet. They've been in the business for 50 years. They're family owned. Their culture's tremendous. They take care of their salespeople. You see a lot of these dealerships, they have quick a lot of roster turnover between their sales staff. You don't get that at Monument Chevrolet. They are the penultimate place. They're the preeminent place, I should say, of salespeople. They work there and they stay there for a long time. They don't have the salespeople turnover like most dealerships do because Monument Chevrolet takes care of them, which means you can trust them and they're not gonna try to cheat you out of a few bucks. You can trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. No hassle pricing. They're not looking to upcharge you on the back end. Nothing like that. And the vehicle of the week this week, the Silverado, an American classic, durable, versatile, powerful. It's available in multiple trim levels. And right now you can get a crazy low 1.9% APR. For 60 months. Where can you get that? 1.9% APR for 60 months. Check them out online, monumentchevrolet.com. But better yet, go visit them in person at Beltway 8 and 225. Monument Chevrolet, Beltway 8, 225. Ask for GM Jeff. Jeff will take care of you and get that fantastic deal you're looking for. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.